Welcome to the Rough Fish Registry, number 15.
15, that is...
We're climbing.
I know. I hear all these guys are like, episode 200. I'm like, yeah, we're not quite there yet.
Not quite there.
Yeah.
Content, better, worse, I don't know. We are feeling more confident, which could be good or could be bad.
Yeah, we're back at the South Studio.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yep. On the back porch.
Yeah, the back deck. We were on the front deck of my boat last week.
Yep.
And now we've moved to the back.
If you hear some cicadas, that's cool.
Those are bugs for anybody that doesn't know.
I really think everybody would know what the cicada is. But if not, I swear it's not an insult. It kind of is, I guess. Or you might hear a Harley Davidson roll by.
Yep.
So we just had one, and it was loud. So,
did you get the kids to bed?
Kids are in bed.
Yeah. We been down at the lake house the last, I guess, yesterday and today. Pate stopped by today. And
what a lovely place.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice little place down at Shell Knob.
Mm-hmm.
And took a boat ride with the kids. And a
lot of traffic.
Yeah. I looked at Pate, and he was thinking the same thing I was. He was like, man, being out here in a flat bottom would suck.
I just put her on the bank.
Yeah.
I couldn't handle it.
Yeah. Wives had some good bonding time, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know what they talked about.
Valerie said it didn't feel like we just met for the first time.
That's good.
I think social media interaction and hearing us talk back and forth about each other's wives and things of that nature just
you know,
took the first awkwardness out.
Between you and Chad, you know, if someone calls, that's about the two people that call me. And so.
That's funny.
It's my second and third wives, I guess.
See, you're the only person that calls me past like 6 o'clock. So my wife always knows. She's like, tell him to leave you alone.
I'm going to have to ask her, but I'm going to talk to her about that.
Yeah. No, she'll have some words for you.
Yeah. But, well, you're in bed at like 8.
Well, you know, I'm a working man, and I'm not asleep by 8. I'm asleep by 9:45.
Maybe that's why I do have the right eye twitch going on. My eye has been twitching ever since the week before the Open. And
it's
I don't know.
30-pounder that got away.
We'll talk about that here in a little bit.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, so this episode, I think we're just going to...
This is the last and final episode talking about in or around the U.S. Open. This will be like the third one in a row.
Yeah. I mean...
Well, I mean, for a season.
Yeah.
We'll be back.
Yeah.
Obviously.
For sure.
Don't want to beat it, you know, beat in the ground.
Yeah, so I did do pretty decent, I guess. First loser. Yep.
You know what's really funny? It's not funny. I haven't told you this yet. I really wasn't saving it for the podcast either. But you know the song that I've had in my head all week, and I don't know why. I didn't even hear it on the radio. Was it Nelly, or was it
Number One?
I am. Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. And it was. I just kept hearing it in my head, and then I would think about what's the 2 is not a winner, and 3 nobody remembers.
Yeah.
And I feel bad a little bit. I cringed for you, but it's like definitely nobody remembers number 47.
You know, I've had like 200 friend requests since I finished second. It's been ridiculous.
Really?
I felt like Jeff Neibol on social media.
Man, look at you go.
Morning after the tournament, I opened my phone up. After I woke up that afternoon, I had like 20 friend requests and like 200 notifications. So I was internet famous for like 12 hours.
You're milking it too. It's okay.
Yeah.
I would too. Don't worry.
I'll post at least for another 2 weeks about it.
Mm-hmm. You should. You should. This is my last dollar that I earned. Thank you for these Starburst.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't buy Starbucks for a dollar.
No. No.
No. Definitely not. Yeah. Yeah. I don't. Yeah. We'll just. So that's what we're talking about. We're talking about how we did. So you want to go first? Because it would be anticlimactic if I ended. I can go first.
You go first. I'll go second. First.
Okay.
Yeah, take us through, like, your scouting and...
Yeah. So, I'll even tell you the lake I shot. So, I shot Table Rock. I have a 5-week-old baby and a 2.5-year-old and a wife that would murder me if I did. And the other thing is...
If you did what?
If I went to, like, the Northern Lakes and gotcha. Scouted hard for 2 weeks.
Yeah, next like year. I was telling you to?
Right. Yeah, whatever.
Okay.
But anyway, so I didn't get to do that. I didn't really get to scout very much at all. I only scouted, like, 4 nights... 2 weeks prior, within the 2 week period prior. It just didn't work.
You live like 5 minutes from the boat.
That's the other thing. I literally do live, if you look at my house, Google Maps, there's water 3/4 of a mile. I don't live on the lake. I live on a farm that's close to a lake. But anyway, so Tabor Rocks, Home Waters.
It's always a good choice, though.
Yeah. It's always, a lot of diversity. You got commons, you got grassies, you got gar. There was one buff at one time, but I killed it.
Haven't you killed more than one buff on Table Rock?
No. So I only killed the one, but the same summer, and that was 2 years ago at the Open, we saw somebody hit one with their boat and it was floating.
You didn't shoot it?
No. It had a huge propeller mark in it. We'd have got some weird looks.
I mean, it didn't have like one fin still flipping. I mean, you could have.
No, Chase. It didn't. And I've just... I'm sitting up here on my ethical high horse. And, no, so I think somebody else shot it and waited in.
Probably.
They beat us to it. So, okay. So, yeah, we shot... Well, I will say this, though. We worked all over Table Rock. We also went to Bull. We're pretty familiar with Bull. It was really bad. So we thought between the fact that the airboats could be there and... just from what we saw, we just really, and from what we, from what we'd heard, everybody and their mother was going to be between K-Doc and Forsyth.
Yeah.
So I was just like, well, no, I don't want to get in the middle of that. Plus there's airboats. So I was like, you know what? We'll just, so anyway, this week, so Thursday before the Open, we checked, like I said, 4 other spots. And I've been saving the spot. Okay. So this has kind of been our, like, if nothing else works, we can go here and maybe get lucky kind of place. So I'll tell the whole story. So 2 years ago in July of 15, the water got up and it was like 9:24, 9:25. I looked it up and I can't remember the exact date, but it was up there pretty high. And there's this spot that, we'd shot a lot of commons in, and we shot some gar, but we'd never seen a grass carp. We'd never even seen one, period. So we're in this spot, and there's these bushes, just like a normal lakeside, what I'd call this. I don't even know what they're called, just like a bush on the lake. Just a normal,
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, just normal old bush. And there was this, like, I don't know, like, 30-by-70-yard stretch that you could, if you could get through the bushes, you could get through the other side and check it. So I say, hey, tell everybody in the boat, there's four or five of us. There's myself and Trevor, the Cashmere Killer, and he's actually in the back of the boat.
This was 2 years ago.
Okay. This is 2 years ago. So this is all, it'll all tie in, I promise.
Okay.
I'm a rambling man. And then I've got 3 guys on the front of the boat that had never been before. And I said, hey, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to hit the troll motor. We're going to go through this as fast as we can. I'm going to kill the troll motor as we're going through it, pull it up, and we're just going to coast to the middle of this bush and then get to the other side. So we do this, and as soon as we hit the bush, there is an eruption like nothing we'd ever experienced. And on one end of the bush was a head, and the other end was a tail. And I don't like to talk fish stories, but it was the biggest fish we'd ever seen, no question. Massive, gigantic. And then we roll into this. We obviously, it happened so fast, the fish blew out. We didn't even have a chance to shoot. We didn't have our bows ready because we were plowing through a bush. Anyway, so we get into this cut, and immediately 3 more just go berserks and never got a shot. We were not really ready for any of it, and never saw them again. So crazy. So
4 grassies in 1 cut.
4 grassies, 1 cut, went bananas. It was crazy. We were freaking out. Went back the next night, gone. Went back two nights after that, gone. Never saw him again. This was 2 years ago. So this whole time, this lake's been cresting, been coming on up, and I've been thinking in the back, in the top of my head, in the back of my head, just like, I wonder if we go back, if we'll find him. And I've thought this for like, since the lake started coming up. I was like, the open's coming, and yada, yada, yada. You know, what could happen? So I purposefully did not go to this spot until Thursday before the open. And we got skunked all other four nights of scouting. So we roll in, and we launch the boat, and I drive straight to this spot. I drop the trolling motor. We roll in 30 yards, and two grassies blow out. We turn the boat around. We're, like, kind of excited. We're like, okay, you know, here we are. This is what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And got a good look at both of them. They were huge. So I turned the boat around, and he just laid there in front of us.
Another one?
Big Dan.
Big Dan.
Big Dan laid there in front of us. So one of the two just sat there. And we've shot grass carp since. A couple, like a 38 and a 42. And shot some big buffs with Chase. And watched him shoot a 68-pound buff. And I don't know if it was my hungry eyes, but that fish looked, I told everybody in the boat that I said, you know, if we get it in the boat Saturday night and it doesn't weigh 60 pounds plus, I'll give you all $20 a piece, because I was that confident that it was friggin' ginormous.
So if a grassy looks big in the water, it's normally a lot bigger than what it looks like.
So, yeah.
That's what I've come to find.
They always look long, right?
Yeah.
But this one was fat, head to tail.
Been munching.
Oh, dude. Anyway, like, my legs shook for 45 minutes after we got out of there, because I was like, well, that's a $5,000 fish, you know? No. Mm-hmm. And it definitely would have been if we'd have got in the boat.
You could have been like me and just stuck it right there.
I know. But no, I couldn't have done it.
Yeah, two nights before, I couldn't have done that.
And we hadn't seen any other boats here before, really. And but the open 2 years ago, we fished close to here. It wasn't the exact same spot. We were close, within a couple miles. We saw a bunch of boats. But anyway, so this night we like get to the spot, and then as soon as we see him, another boat comes rolling by, and it's like, oh gosh, this is bad. This is really bad. But they never went in. They kept rolling by anyway. So we ended up finding two more grassies, and then a bunch of gar, a bunch of nice gar, 15 to 20 pound average. So Thursday night, we load the boat up. There's a tornado warning at 11 o'clock, so we get the boat on the trailer, and I'm kind of pumped, because I'm like, you know, if I could get two of the four grass carp and pull a 15 to 20 pound average, I mean, we could have shot, you know, if the tournament had been Thursday night, and I'd heard a lot of people say this, if it had been Thursday night, there would have been a lot of fish killed. I mean, just, it would have been crazy. We would have had 400 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
No question. So yeah, that was Thursday night. Friday night, we didn't scout because it was raining. And so Saturday rolls around, we're doing our parking lot hangout. We got there about, we didn't get there as early as Chase did, but we got there about 10 o'clock, and we hung out all day, and I was anxious, and the only person I really told was Chase and Chad. And then I told the Scroggins boys like 5 minutes before we left, because I was just bursting at the seams.
You had to tell somebody.
I had to tell somebody. And anyway, and he was like, he gave me a little pep talk. It was really cool. But
Chase or James?
James.
Yeah.
He was like, now, I don't know what you're going to do, and I'm not telling you what to do. But he's like, you get in your boat, and you haul. And he wasn't, you know, he said some words. He's like, and you don't stop till you get there. And he's like, you go straight there. And he's like, you camp out. And you don't let anybody. You know, like, that's exactly what I'm going to do, but thank you. This is exactly what I needed here.
Yeah.
And so anyway, we proceed to take out, and we get like 35 miles from Springfield. And there's three boats in front of us, and there's one behind us. And I said, those guys, all these boats better turn left right now. And we were coming up. And the first three in front of us turned left, and the one behind us stayed behind us.
Yeah.
And I said, they're going to that spot. I guarantee it.
Mm-hmm.
And we were like 40 miles from the spot.
Yeah.
And they're like, no. I was like, there's nowhere else to go from where we are.
Do you know who it was behind you?
I didn't.
You didn't. Okay.
But it's a boat that Trevor thought he'd saw down here getting gas. But I don't know who they were. I still don't know who they are. But anyway, there was the boat that we saw. We looked at the that night, Thursday night, the boat we saw. We saw the license plates, and they were from Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a very distinctive truck. So Saturday, I went scouring to find where they were. Well, they were about 20 spots in front of us.
Yeah.
So we get to the ramp. So this boat's following us. We get to the ramp Saturday night, and there is three trucks in the parking lot already. I'm like,
yep.
Oh, this is bad.
Did you recognize any of the trucks?
There was one truck in the parking lot, or there were two trucks I knew, the guys from Georgia, some guys that I hadn't seen before, and then
Yeah.
Mr. JP was there as well.
Yeah.
So he'd already launched, because he was in the first flight, I'm sure. He was gone. But
so he shot with Alan Yater, Southern style.
Yeah. So I saw JP's truck.
Yeah.
Saw the tracker trailer and two together, and I was like, yeah. Funny thing is, I'd seen him in the same spot last summer at the state shoot.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really kind of a, you know, anyway, so.
It's not a spot that everybody, I mean, you'd have to look hard for this spot, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You do. But anyway, I'll stop there.
Okay.
So I'm like, so 10 miles to the ramp, I'm like, these guys are behind us. Here's what we got to do. You know, I'm like, Jared, you're in charge of the straps. I'm going to get in some of the boat. Adam's going to be on the front. And I said, we got to get in and out fast, like pit chief.
Like pit crew.
Pit crew, you know, the whole nine yards. Like, we got to make this work. So we roll in. JP's gone. There's two other boats. One guy's launching. The other guy's trying to back up. So Trevor whips in. We do our thing. We get out before the other two boats that were in front of us. So we were, like, feeling good and passed one other boat, or not passed the Georgia boat. They actually took off just, like, 20 seconds in front of us.
Yeah.
Passed them and got to the spot. Well, we get there, and Mr. JP is not in the spot, but
he was close by.
He was close. So we kind of cruised in just real gentle and parked and just sat still. So long story short, we waited 40 minutes, went and knocked on Big Dan's door, and he was nowhere to be found.
Big Dan, he's...
Big Dan's elusive. So yeah. We went and checked our other grassy spot. Nothing. JP came in behind us there. They didn't find anything either. So we went to plan B and shot 9 gar. And by about 1:30, they were shutting down. Well, I could see him on the fish finder about 30 feet deep, and they weren't coming up. So
yeah. So you could see him on the fish finder. Can you explain that?
Just figure it out yourself.
Okay.
If you just roll over the top of him. I don't have side imaging, but I could just...
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe another episode, Electronics 101.
Yeah, it works. I'll tell you, because
I've got side scan and down scan on mine.
Right, so this is just down scan. I've got a bigger unit, but I haven't put it on the boat.
Mm-hmm.
I should have to have side scan, but so I roll. You just roll over the top where you think they might be,
mm-hmm.
and you'll see a big ball. You'll see a cluster, and it looks like, you know, you go over bait fish, and it just looks like a big, you know, just like mass. There's no like definition. It's just a big blob. You look over a gar ball, and it's like...
Toothpicks everywhere?
Yeah, it's like a bunch of like curved lines mm-hmm. stacked on top of each other. It's the best way I can describe it. And you can judge then if they're, you know, where they are. And that's all. There's a few more tricks to that, but I'll leave it there.
Okay.
So we ended up getting 9 fish. It was tough. It was tough. And, weighed in 96 pounds, and we went to the coal station just to dump them because we were like, man, there's no chance.
Yeah.
And this is like 6:15, and the guy's like, well, I don't want you to get your hopes up, but
that's more fish than any other boat that I've seen pull in. So I was like, oh, wow, okay.
I think
so
you texted me at that point, and you were like, I'm leading with 96 pounds or something like
no,
that.
No, I was in second place by a half pound with 96 pounds, and it was like, here's our moment of glory. And then Chase came and kicked us out of second place.
Oh.
So anyway, it didn't go according to plan. We got 2 inches of rain, and both dams were open, so a lot of water rolling around, and
they were like still muddy. I mean, we're today.
Yeah, it was.
I mean,
yeah. Middle Campbell Point was nasty.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's kind of the breakdown of how it went. So it was a grind. We had fun, but and I got cold. I'll be honest with you. So this is something I didn't expect. So I really thought I was going to roll in there and get that fish, and when it didn't happen, I got kind of down. I got like I
someone
got
shot your pony.
Oh, like somebody stole my pony and rode it around for 3 days and then shot it. It was bad. I was like 10:45. At 10:45, I laid down on the deck and was like, "Oh, this is bad." I was out.
You're like, I got this podcast, and it's supposed to be awesome, bow fisherman.
I'm supposed to, like, you know, grind through this, and this is bad. And
you know what I kept thinking of is Tommy Wood's advice.
Yeah.
Don't quit.
Oh, I know.
And I'll get into that more when I talk about mine. But
yeah, so anyway, my stories will be lackluster comparatively, but it was fun, and we ended up going till about 2:30 at that spot, I think, and we moved. And got a little burst of energy. It was funny. We moved and we rolled to the very first spot, and we were not prepared at all. I just, you know, I was kind of half out of it still. And this was like 3:30, and I jump up and drop the trolling motor down. And as soon, it's like the noise of dropping the trolling motor down, like this fat common just like jumped out right in front of the boat. It was like, what in the world's going on? And I was like, guys, get up here now. And we proceeded to like roll around for another hour and 45 minutes and didn't see a thing. It's like, oh. So, anyway. That's my story.
So you went back after Big Dan a couple of nights ago, right?
Mm-hmm. He was gone.
He's gone.
He's gone. So.
He needs another 2 years to come back to that spot.
I was trying to explain it to somebody, too. I was like, I was pretty hyped up Friday morning. I was really jazzed. I'm not going to lie. And I was like, okay, just think of it like this. Like, you're sitting in your favorite tree stand. You got game camera pictures all year. You've got it all scoped out. And you've got a bunch of nice 8 or 9 points, you know, 130-inch deer. And a 200-inch buck rolls through it, Mach 3. And you're like, wow, look at that.
Yeah.
And then you come back 2 years later, and he freaking walks out in front of you and then lays there, and you can't do anything about it because he's, oh.
Chad is so anti not shooting fish when scouting because the open.
So he likes to shoot, he'll just shoot regardless.
Well, a grassy like that, we probably wouldn't, but.
He shot a 60 2 weeks before.
I know. But. Like I said in the show last week, he was in a tree out in the middle of the lake. It wasn't
pretty random.
And it's a spot I wasn't going. So better me than somebody else Saturday night, I guess.
That's really true.
Yeah. But what made us that way is we scouted, I think it was the Wednesday before the open 2 years ago. And we rolled across, I think it was 5 or 6 grass carp. I may have said a different number. Like I said, I'm not a politician, but a couple in one of the first episodes, we rolled across 5 or 6 grassies, 30 to 50 pounds, and they just laid there, just like you said.
I remember you telling me that.
And this was the Wednesday night before the tournament.
Ugh.
And then we go back tournament night, nothing, you know. And Chad's like, oh, we should have shot every one of them. I was like, whoa, Puddin'.
Take it down a notch.
That's right. So, but
isn't that the truth though? Because we did the same thing 2 years ago, and it was the same Thursday night, and we hit this flat, and it was like loaded with commons. I mean, 20, like some of the biggest commons we'd ever seen in Table Rock, and they were just on top of each other, didn't move an inch. And Trevor and I were like, "Oh boy, we got this one in the bag," and
then 2 nights later, nothing.
I almost wish there was no scouting 2 nights before the tournament. Give these fish time to calm down.
Yeah.
I mean, I know there's guys that come into town.
Yeah, they have to.
And
they
have to be able to scout. But for the guys that have been banging the banks for 14 days and they've got all these fish found, you know, it'd be nice to not have to worry about some jack wagon coming in and shooting one of your fish on Thursday.
You just need to borrow a bass boat and just go sit there.
Well, I talked about that 2 years ago, having my dad go sit on that spot and act like he was bass fishing, but I didn't want to message Mike or JP and be like, is this legal?
Well, I think it would be.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing doing anything wrong.
I mean, I've not going to lie, I've had thoughts of having somebody I know go sit at a boat ramp, you know, tournament day, and if I'm way back in the list, see how many boats put in and and watch that, but
slippery,
yeah,
slippery
trail cameras. I thought about that this year.
I know you told me. I was like, dang, that's smart.
Yeah, I that's literally thought camera. About putting trail cameras up at some of the boat ramps I was going to.
As long as we're not corning them, we're fine.
Yeah,
you know what's funny? I may have said this last week on the.
You did.
I
but
did.
You can go ahead and say it again.
You know, so if you go, I don't want to misconstrue the information, but if you go to Missouri Department of Conservation's website and you are researching grass carp as a species, they have like this thing where it's like how to catch grass carp, and they literally say go chum the water with corn. It's, I mean, go look it up.
I'm not going to lie. I've thought about, like, sounds bad. I follow on Facebook the Carp Anglers Anonymous Association.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a carp anglers website. And
that's the guys that don't like us.
Yeah, I mean, I can't say they're bad guys. I mean, they like what they do, and it's, you know, everybody.
I totally get it.
Yeah, everybody's got their deal.
Yeah.
But they've got all these bait recipes, so I thought about whipping up one of these chum buckets that they've got, and when I take my kids out, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Going out and dropping some of that stuff down.
Somebody had a product, didn't they? Like that.
Yeah. What was that called?
They were pumping it
super
hard. Yeah,
Backwater was doing it.
Yeah, at the open, the carp out last year.
Yeah. I don't know.
I never heard if that was good or bad.
I mean, I just find it myself.
Yeah.
But for the kids, I mean, it'd be nice to. I'm not going to say I wouldn't have my bow
in my
hand.
For the kids. For the kids. Sure.
So so anyway,
let's roll into your story.
My earbud's falling out here.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, it's popping out. I don't have the nice Beats by Dre that Pate's got.
You know what? My aunt and uncle got me these for Christmas like 6 years ago.
And this is the most use they've gotten?
Most definitely.
Yeah.
Because I was in college at the time, and I wore them on campus one time, and I was like, I don't want to be this guy.
You look like a DB.
I do not want to be this guy. I mean, they are awesome. I'm not going to lie. Like, sound quality. I'm really into music. They're sweet. But
yeah,
I can't wear them in public.
I saw your wife was rocking a Jason Isbell shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like.
It's finally starting to, you know, she's into it now.
Yeah. Cool.
It's like the sixth time we've seen him 6 times.
Yeah.
It's a problem.
Chad's wife is into that members only band, that cover band, that. Like 80s rock band. It's a cover band.
I saw that him, old Puddin, was going to a rock show tonight.
Yeah. Like, I'm beginning to wonder if his wife doesn't, in like a groupie, you know. I told him you better watch out.
Members only. Okay, is that the.
So they're just an 80s cover band.
Are they good?
I've never seen them. I mean, they play all over the place, so obviously they are.
There's one. We were at. We were in St. Louis and we're going to a Jason Isbell show, and we were at this hotel and we went and ate lunch at the bar, and the guy was like, hey, you're gonna be back tonight for the show, and this was the night before the concert, and we were like, well, you know, if we, you know, after dinner maybe. So we roll back to the hotel, and it's a St. Louis like 60s, 70s, 80s cover band.
Yeah.
And the place was packed.
Yeah,
it was awesome. I mean, like, I'm pretty critical when it comes to, like, bands.
Uh-huh.
These dudes were on point. Huh. I mean, like, we stuck around for, like, 4 hours.
Really?
They were really good. Those kind of bands like that, though, I mean,
They've got it made. I mean, they don't have to come up with any new stuff. And
yeah, the dude, like the lead singer, could belt it. Like the guitar player was awesome. The drummer was great.
Thinking about starting a Nickelback cover band?
No. I'd rather take a swan dive off this 30-foot deck than do that.
All right. So my...
Sorry.
Yeah, I know. My week, or let's call it my open month.
Didn't get much sleep.
Yes. Let me get my calendar out here so I can remember the days. It's May 20th. Okay. So... the week of like the 1st through the 6th, we hit a couple lakes, just once or twice. Went to Bull once. My other teammate, he's been working a lot and hadn't got a chance to shoot much. So we went down there, shot some commons, a couple little gar, and just pretty slow. Then the rest of the week, we scouted another lake and actually found some pretty decent fish. That kind of gave me a good idea of what I was wanting to do, you know, for the open. I was worried that it was going to be just bumper boats where I was at. I mean, I was freaking out that the area of the lake I was on, I mean, three or four boats could knock it out pretty quickly if they were there and I was there and the fish were there and they found the fish. So we stopped in and checked that spot out two or three times that week. I don't remember if we went that weekend or not. The next week, the 7th through the 13th, let's see here, we checked in on that spot three or four times through that week. I think it was like Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. I was leaving after baseball games, you know, getting on the water at 10 or 11 o'clock, getting up and going to work the next morning. But the fish were there. And when I say the fish were there, I'm talking, you know, I said in the last episode that 600 pounds wasn't out of the question. I mean, that It wasn't. I mean, 600 to 800 pounds.
No, I mean, you told me that about a week before, that you were going to either be a zero or a hero.
And, oh, yeah.
You know.
I mean, so we put in one boat ramp, basically from like Wednesday the 3rd, I think, to the 19th, the night before the open. The only nights we missed on the water was like the 12th and 13th. I was back on the water Sunday night, Mother's Day.
You did a family weekend though.
Yeah, we were in St. Louis all weekend and we got back late and Puddin was like, we got to go check on our fish. We just got to go. So we went there.
Got to put the girls to bed.
And guys, these fish, I mean, I know of a buddy of mine. He found him. I think he found him Tuesday night, and he texted me. He goes, I found a buffhole, and he said a lake, which wasn't the lake it was on. He goes, I hope it's not yours. And I said, well, it's not mine if it's on that lake. And anyway, we'll get to that later. But so we 30, 40-pound buffalo just everywhere, just laying there in the trees. I mean, they would just stare at the boat. You'd go by, and they'd just look at you. I mean, just knowing you weren't going to shoot them. And I think it was probably...
Did you slip some, like, mercury in the water?
No.
Dumb them down?
But Wednesday night, same hole, we rolled across a grassy that... I don't know. Chad swears it was a grassy. He didn't really blow out, so and the water was a little dingy, but... He looked like a 55-gallon drum swimming across the back of this pocket. And I was just like, oh, my gosh. I mean, we shot that 60 2 weeks before the open, and this fish dwarfed that fish. So I think it was a giant buffalo, but Chad swears it was a grassy. Whatever it was big.
It doesn't matter. I don't know why the grass carp is so much more elusive.
Well, I just like shooting them because they're a fun fight, you know.
That's true.
But for a tournament, I really hate shooting them because, you know, get them in that belly. I mean, if you don't stick them right in the top of the back, you can't hardly get them things in. I mean, they're so soft. And so, anyway, I think we scouted Friday night before the rain. So, anyway, this whole time we've been scouting, we have not seen one boat. And I am losing my crap. Like,
it's confirmed. He was acting weird.
Like, I was like, how are we not seeing any boats? I mean, we'd scout. We showed up a couple nights before dark, and we scouted till midnight. And we'd run this whole area. No boats. Get to the boat ramp, no trucks. Mine was the only truck there. And so, I mean, I talked to Mike Webb, I guess, Saturday before the tournament, and he was like, he said, you want anything good? I said, Mike, I said, we're on them. I said, if they're there, I said, we are on them. And the next day he messaged me and was like, he goes, I could tell that there was something wrong with you because you were not yourself when I was talking to you at that tournament. And I was just nervous as a cat. And so anyway, tournament night, we do our podcast. We go through and lie to 500 people the whole day. You know what? Just don't ask. That's a public service announcement. Don't ask.
We probably need to do an episode specifically about this.
Yes.
Too.
Just don't ask if you don't want to be lied to, because with $25,000, I wouldn't care if it was a freaking bobblehead that looked like JP that said U.S. Open champion. I'm not going to tell you where I'm going.
Yeah, it's not about we talked about it at length prior to the night, and it wasn't about, I mean, obviously, 25 grand, it'd be stupid to be like, oh, I don't care about that. But, you know, at this, you know, it's really not about the money per se.
No. I mean, with my second place finish, I did the math. I think I made $37 after I fixed all the crap I broke and paid for all my gas.
I know. I tried to hit him up to buy some more podcast equipment. He was like, well, I want X amount of dollars. I burned this much in fuel. I broke this much crap. He's like, well, I don't think the money's there. I was like, oh, gosh.
So anyway, we load up tournament day. You know, blast off happens. And I'm trying to I guess it was Friday, I sat at work all day and I scrolled through the lineup sheet, you know, everybody that was in the tournament. And I marked off everybody that I knew was in an airboat, and I marked off everybody I knew was in a fan boat, and I marked off everybody that I trusted that told me where they were fishing. And I eliminated a lot of boats that I knew weren't going to be where I was. So the odds were looking forever better in my favor as I did this.
Mm-hmm.
So I was feeling pretty good. So anyway, we blast off, and I'm watching these boats, and they're going down Sunshine. It would be west down
right.
Sunshine.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, there's a lot of boats going this way. I was like, golly, they're all gonna be in my hole. I just know it. Like every one of them, they figured it out. So we blast off and we run like 85 down Sunshine, and we took a weird way to where we were going because I think I could.
Chad sent me a Snapchat. 85 sounds pretty conservative.
Yeah,
I was like, oh gosh, you boys need to slow down.
So we took a weird way to where we were going because, one, I know the roads, and I think I made some time up being able to run four lane a lot of the way and roads I know. So we get to our spot, and there is four boats and trailers there, and there's one boat unloading as we get there.
Bum, bum, bum.
So I'm like, son of a bee. And so we back the boat in, spin around, you know. We practice our unloading before the tournament, so we have it down pretty good, pit crew style.
That's right.
Get the boat. Yeah, we get the boat unloaded, and there's an old man fishing at the boat dock. So I yell at him. I'm like, hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
Yeah. And he was like, what's going on? I said, oh, doing some bow fishing. I said, was all these boats bow fishing boats? He said, yeah. I said, which way'd they go? And he pointed to the right. He said, every one of them went to the right. I said, thank you, baby Jesus, because I was going left. And there wasn't another boat ramp to the left for miles. I mean, it's a long run from the next boat ramp up. So we get the boat. Everybody jumps in the boat, and I'm backing away from the dock, and I'm like, oh, light bulb went off. Genius idea. So I yell at the old man again. I'm like, hey, you want to do me a favor? He's like, yeah, no problem. I said, if any other boats unload, instead of telling them they went right, tell them they all went left. He goes, I'll do it. That sounds awesome. So I don't know if he did or not, if you ran into an old man that told you every boat went left and you went right and there was five other boats down there. That's my bad.
We just lost a few listeners.
Yeah. So
that's funny, though.
So back up to Friday night before the rain, we didn't see many fish. I mean, we were, like I said before, hero or zero, and we get to our first hole.
Because it rained Thursday night and Friday.
Yeah.
Right.
So we get to our first hole, and there's no fish. I mean, I hadn't been seeing fish before dark anyway, but I still thought we could see some fish before dark and put a couple in the boat. So I didn't want to dive deep back into this place we were going, so we just run the edge like four times waiting for dark. And about our third time around, another boat pulled in, saw us, rolled out and left. And I think it was right after that boat pulled in, Big Buff blew off the bank, and Chad just center punched it, and it dove right into one of those freaking bushes, trees, whatever you want to call them. Mm-hmm. And that bush was just shaking like crazy, and we're trying to get a backup in it. Anyway, he pulls out, and we're just like, oh my gosh, you know, don't start like this. And so we go another 5 feet, another buff blows out, shoot it, weighed 18 pounds. And comparing that 18 pounder to that fish that pulled out, I'll say that fish that pulled out was 25 probably. You know, I don't want to say 30 because, I mean, that puts that fish making me win it.
Right.
So.
Daggum $21,000 fish.
Yeah. So I think we had three fish in the boat before dark.
Yeah, you text me. We were talking back and forth right after we hit Big Dan's house. And we came up empty. And I got a text from you. It was like 30 pulled off. You said 30 at the time. 30 pulled off and a 20 in the boat. It's like, well, they're off to a good start.
Yeah. So we run the outside edge of this one more time, just trying to keep from – to get in the back of this, we had to run my kicker really hard and make a lot of noise to get back in there because it was – all just – it was the boonies where we were – the back of this cove we were in. And so – we turn our lights on. We're making the last loop around the outside of this cove, and another boat rolls in. And I was like, I'm going to be boat C. I'm not going to lie. I'm going to be a butthole tonight because I've been on these fish for freaking 14 days. So I jump down. We trim the kicker up, fire the big motor up, and we run right in front of this boat and cut them off. And ended up being a buddy of mine that told me he found the buff hole on the other lake. Well, he found my buff hole.
Ugh.
And I didn't know it was him at the time. I knew it was a boat running high-pressure sodiums, and I figured it was them. And I heard them yelling at me. I thought they were yelling, like, bad words, but I guess they were just being silly and yelling funny stuff at me because – they said they were just excited to see that that's where I was because he kind of had an idea of what I was on. So they jump from the right side to the left side, and we dove in, and we didn't shoot one fish out of this cove.
Ugh.
Where we'd been seeing 30, 40, 50 fish a night just everywhere. So, I mean, our daubers were down.
Ugh.
So
I know the feeling.
So we bail out of that cove, and we had We had like five other spots that we knew we were going to find buffalo. Hit the first one. I mean, it was way back in the trees, had a power line cut through it, grass growing up in the power line cut.
Looks perfect.
And, I mean, these fish, the nights before, were just laying there. And, we saw four or five fish in this one cut we went in. Nothing. And I'm just like, well, we said we were going to be heroes or zeros. I said, it looks like it's going to be a zero tonight. And, I mean, we ran that cove and our other three coves that we knew we had fish found in. I think we put two fish in the boat. So we had five fish in the boat at 2 a.m.
Yep.
And at 2 a.m., something magical happened, and the moon came up, and so did the fish.
Ooh.
So from about 2 to 4, we put, let me think here, we put 15 or 18 fish in the boat between 2 and 4, and we ended up putting our big fish in the boat at 5:45, a 28-pound buff.
Mm.
And, you know, it was one of those nights that, like I said earlier, that I kept thinking of what Tommy Woods said, just don't give up, don't quit, because we knew these fish were there, and we knew they hadn't just left, you know, and we just stuck it out, and they finally come up, and we put some fish in the boat. We had that first fish pull out before dark. We had another fish pull out right after dark. I hate giving sizes. I'm horrible at this. But
mm-hmm. It's tough.
I'll call them 10 to 15-pound buff pulled out. And other than that, we put every fish in the boat we saw but two fish. We did not miss a fish. We missed two fish the rest of the night. And, I mean, you can't ask for more than that.
No, that's lights out. I mean, that's probably 80%, 90%.
Oh, I mean, we were friggin' snipers. I mean, it was pretty epic. I wish we'd had a GoPro on the back of the boat, but we'd have probably ripped it off from where we were at. But, we fished till daylight.
Yeah.
And we get back to the boat ramp.
I was getting McDonald's at that time.
I think you text me. And was like, Waffle House or...
I said, you want to meet us at Waffle House or IHOP?
And I said, I'll meet you at Big Buff's halfway in or something like that. And you put, are you serious? And I don't think I replied. And anyway, we get loaded up. There's not another boat there. Someone had stuck a Rough Fish Registry sticker on my window.
Really?
Yeah.
That's funny.
I think it was... I don't know if it was my brother-in-law or my ex-brother-in-law, or who, but someone stuck one on my window. So we get to rolling back, and I think we've talked to Pate at this point, and he's like, I'm in second with 90-some pounds. And I was like, well, it's always like that, you know?
Right.
I didn't think nothing of it.
We didn't have our hopes up. It was just kind of funny.
So we drive back. We get to the Walmart there just west of Bass Pro, and we pull in, we cull our fish. Big fish was 28, small fish we ended up weighing was 9.9, which I was a little bummed about that. I knew that was going to hurt us, but I think it was 9.9, 11, and then it jumped to 15s or somewhere right in there. But so we got all our fish culled, but we never added our fish up. So we're trying to, like, all right, we know this fish weighed 28. We'll add 10 to the 9, and that puts us at 19. So there's a 20-pound average with those two. And then we knew we had a bunch that were right around 15 and then a couple 18s and some low 20s. So we get to weigh in, and we cull our fish. We only culled, like, four fish. And I think JP was at the corner. He's like, what do you got? I said, I don't know. I said, we got 330 to 350. And he goes, are you serious? I was like, yeah. He goes, that's a good stringer. I was like, and I knew it was a decent stringer because Pate had kind of been filling me in about what people had weighed, and we were texting Chase and James Scroggins and some of those boys that were that were in the back lot waiting to do the weigh-in there towards the end.
Mm-hmm.
And so we pull around to that back lot, and at this point, I'm just losing my mind. I mean, I was walking around. I saw that meme that, you know, what people look like when they're looking in your boat to see what your fish weigh.
Right, right.
I mean, that was me. I mean, I hit every boat, and I mean, I was looking, and
you look like Dave Chappelle, like,
y'all got any more of them weights for me? Yeah.
Bug-eyed.
So, I mean, I made the rounds, and there were some guys that had some stud buffalo. I mean, I don't know if... I think people get their own fish look smaller when you're looking at other people's fish.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was looking at these buffalo. I was like, what's that buffalo? He's like, oh, 25. I'm like, I got one that weighs 28, and that thing looks like a giant. You know, and what'd you think of that picture I sent you of my front deck?
Yeah, I mean, it looked like a good stringer,
but it didn't look like that.
No, it didn't. It didn't look like, you know, whenever, you know, I always think about that. Is it North and Travis Cordona or whatever that kid's name
mm-hmm.
is? That night they all shot those state record buffs, and it's like
they're like laying down in them.
Oh my gosh! I mean, it was just like crazy. So I always think that is a reference, and that's a terrible reference.
Yeah.
Because those are like probably a 50-pound average. But, you know, it looked like for everything that I'd seen roll in and like boat after boat after boat, and it was like sub 100 pounds, I was like, whew, you know, these boys are going to be in the fight.
Yeah.
And, you know, I walked to the back and saw, you know, one or two others, and I was like, I don't know, we'll see. But...
So we had all our fish in my fish box. I think I only showed like two or three people. I think I showed Pate, and I showed Darren Freeze and the Scroggins boys. And Darren Freeze, he saw him. He goes, you got it won. He knew where we were at. He even thought about coming there, but he was like, you know, he goes, if I go there and you go there, he goes, we're just splitting the fish that are there.
Right.
I don't know. Darren Freeze is pretty hardcore, so I think he was probably on some good fish up north, but... Anyway, the guys with the gar,
yep.
I didn't see their fish. I mean, I never really went over and looked at them. We were the last two boats in the parking lot, and we were talking. And I said, just be honest. You know, what do you got? I said, if you got it one, you know, I want you to go last. I don't want to look like a dillweed and
yeah,
pull exactly. in behind you and then not beat you. And he goes, I forgot exactly what he said. I think he said they weighed them twice, and one of the weights was 330, and the other weight was 350 with the same scale.
Ooh.
So I don't know if they didn't, I don't know if they didn't know which scale was right, and this is coming from Chad.
Right.
That talked to him. So we ended up going first, and which I'm glad we did, you know.
Right.
I would hate to have to weigh and then... have them back their boat back up and
right. Yeah.
So yeah. AMS weighed three.
So what was your final weight?
335 and change.
Yep. And then in first place was what? 350?
350 and change or 355 and change. Yeah. I don't remember. They seem like nice guys though. I mean, they
yeah.
really did.
Yeah.
They don't, they didn't come off like, you know, by God, I'm a bad mother, and
right,
you know I'm
right.
not going to no, talk to cool. anybody.
No, they were good dudes. They
all of them from Oklahoma, I think.
Yep.
So anyway, finished second place.
Yep. Hey, you
and
know
JP
what?
Gave us a shout out on the stage when
That's
we rolled
right.
through.
That's right. It was cool.
Yeah,
I was driving the truck, and it was like, oh hey, looky there. I wish. Did you get somebody that videoed the whole thing? It looked pretty decent. I was going to do that.
Muzzy, was it Muzzy?
The live video.
The Muzzy has a live feed that has all the top boats coming through.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. My dad was watching it. He was watching whoever is doing the U.S. Open page had it going.
Oh, the live
when
feed?
My boat rolled through, it cut.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that stinks.
So.
That's a bummer.
But yeah, that's.
It was a lot of fun.
It was. It was stressful and fun and. I can't wait till next year.
I know.
I don't get to shoot the BFC.
Man.
So I got my plaques for the second place finish and my invitation for the BFC. So
That's a bummer that you don't get to do that.
You know, I'll scout for a small fee, whoever wants me to scout for him.
If you just could transfer.
I don't know. We're going to talk to him and see if, because we've got, Chad's truck won't pull my boat, but we've got another boat that that we could use. You know, yeah. Chad and Brent shoot and see if that'll work. I'm sure it wouldn't be a big deal.
Right.
But dang wedding.
Well, I would think if you were trying to transfer, you know, a totally new person onto the team, that probably wouldn't work. But,
yeah,
I mean, if it was one of the teammates and you didn't add another guy, that would probably, you know, even though it would just be the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be, could be tough, but.
Yeah. So have you heard anything on the airboats on Truman or Bull Shoals?
I haven't heard a thing.
I forgot who I talked to. They said that they'd heard a few complaints. A couple of them were the night before the tournament, I think, on Truman.
Hmm.
Some boats running through a bean field or something, flooded bean field.
Yeah, but, I could see that.
You know, and then some, I'm so bad. I don't remember who told me, but someone else said that there was a couple of complaints on Bull Shoals, but I think airboats are legal in Arkansas anyway, so it's
yeah,
not.
Yeah, I really don't think it's, you know.
Yeah.
I've
they used to be super, like, anytime I'd see an airboat at a tournament, I'd be like, oh, there's an airboat. They're going to beat me.
Right, know? Right.
But anymore, it's, you know, there's a little bit of intimidation factor with one if you've never been around them
just
in a tournament.
Just the size in of itself, but
yeah, and know. Just the coolness of them. But
they are cool. It screams a lot of America.
Yeah,
but I know. I think you told me, and whenever I watched Tommy Woods roll through and weigh in, and I watched a couple of their airboats come through and weigh in, and they just, you know, weigh in less like 60, 70 pounds, and it was like, oh, that's got to be rough. So, you know, they were just limited to the water they could shoot. But, you know, sometimes it pays off and sometimes it, you know.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
it's not the end all be all.
Not to sound bad, but if I had an airboat, I couldn't have shot the fish I shot the other, during the open. I mean,
right.
There's no way.
Right.
So that's got me. I'm hankering for a twin mud motor rig now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lust.
Yeah. It's going to run on Bald Eagle pee and the tears of Isis. Special cocktail.
You don't want to learn how they secrete that. That's a nasty process.
Oh gosh. So.
Well, it was a lot of fun, and I'll say this too: the parking lot party, that was a good time.
Yeah,
walked around and saw a bunch of people, and felt like a local C-list celebrity. You know?
Yeah, you had someone want to take a picture with you.
Yeah, that was cool. You know,
mm-hmm.
I invite that. If I get many more, I'm going to have to charge a small fee.
Yeah.
But you
know what I thought about doing this episode?
What?
You know how Travis and Jason McCann mm-hmm. are like, I've talked to him on the phone a couple of times after the tournament, and they know where I was, and they just can't wrap their mind around it because they knew where they needed to be, and they didn't do it.
Yeah.
And
that's always the worst.
When I was telling my story of this episode, I almost was like, well, Travis, I really wasn't on that lake and just really messed with him. But I didn't want to do that.
So, those are good dudes.
They are. They're two really good guys. And
yeah, and this is not a slight to them because you've told the story, but he came up to me when I was pulling your boat through and he was like, I just really didn't think. That's, you know.
That's where we were going.
Totally kind of distraught. And I was like, man, I get it. I'm with you.
Those are the two guys.
I'm right there with you.
Those are the two guys that over the whole course of this deal, they weren't on the same fish as me, but they were on the same, somewhat of the same quality of fish.
Yeah.
And they changed their game plan the day of the tournament.
Mm.
And I told them, I think I told them on the podcast to stick to their plan.
Yeah.
You know.
You know, hindsight's, you know, 2020, whatever. It's, you just never, it's just a stinking tough. But, yeah, it just makes me, a couple takeaways. I'm glad our boat runs 42 miles an hour instead of 40, because we wouldn't have passed the guys from Georgia.
Yeah.
That was fun. The whole process was a lot of fun. You know, it wasn't a race, because those guys couldn't have passed us. But it was kind of a race to our spot.
Yeah.
And then we got there and we launched the boat and we were super efficient. We took off and we passed the one team and, you know, everybody was jacked. I mean, everybody was like, this is going to happen. This is going to be awesome. And yeah. That's a lot of fun. That's kind of why, you know, that's why you do it. I mean, half the time you can't win.
I kind of envy you for that because, you know, we put the boat in, all the other boats went the other direction, and then we saw the two other boats the whole night.
Right, right. Well, but we didn't, you know, we saw, whenever we got there, you know, we saw JP, and we saw the other guys that followed us all the way. We never saw the guys from Georgia. They peeled off before we got to the hole, so they didn't know the fish was there. The other boat, we saw them one other time, and they kind of started to do what we were doing, get gar, but they didn't stick around very long. And, you know, there wasn't a lot of traffic that we saw once we were there, but, like, you know, getting out of the hole, you know, I was, before bow fishing and when I was in college, I was into cars and not really street racing, but you know, I was around a lot of fast cars and all that kind of stuff. And it was kind of fun. So whenever it's like you're passing dudes and, you know, on the water, it's like, this, yeah. You know, you're getting kind of jacked up. It was a good time. So, but now I'm like, I need a 400R on the back of a 1860. 42 is not fast enough.
Well, if you put a jet on it, I mean, you could probably get that 400R.
Yeah, and barely run 50, maybe. I don't know. Those jets aren't very efficient, are they?
Well, but on a 400, I bet you'd scoot.
Be like skipping across corners. Ugh. No, that 400R is worth twice as much as my entire setup, probably.
Yeah, just sell some batteries.
Just sell a few.
You got any more of those big batteries?
I do. I've got, that was a smooth transition.
Yeah.
I've got 6 pallets left. I've sold, I need to do the math. I was going to do it last week and I didn't have time. But I think we've sold a bunch of them. And the thing is, like, I don't, you know, I'm indifferent where they go, really. I'd like, you know, I don't want to scrap them. It's a heck of a deal. It's a crazy deal. So $100, 190 amp hour, 12 volt. They lasted all night for us, and we were about 80% power the whole time, or 100. And so it's good. Had a lot of other guys tell me they worked well, and yeah, I think I got 6 pallets left, so I got like 70 left, and I started with 240.
Yeah.
So I haven't only sold them to bow fishing guys, but David Harshberger with Harshlock Arrow bought like 15. Because he has a solar setup as well as he wanted to put some in his boat. And I don't know, probably 10 to 15 guys came and bought 2 or 4 a piece. And so that was cool.
Speaking of the Harshlock, did you get to shoot that arrow?
We did.
Yeah?
Yep.
Pretty ridiculous, isn't it?
Oh, it's a lot of fun. Like during that parking lot, when I was walking back from getting the arrows, just stopping and talking to people, you sit there and play with that mechanism. Like, it's like one of those little fidget toys, those spinners. You sit there and like lock it and disengage it, and it just like
it's solid.
It's super solid and like oddly satisfying to like fidget with.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I really dig it. I didn't start the night off shooting it, but we switched whenever we started shooting gar, and it's pretty cool. I'm pretty psyched about it.
Yeah, I mean they're what, $49 or something.
$49 and. So I saw a quick review on Bowfishing Country, and a couple guys chimed in, and one guy had them for, oh gosh, said he'd been shooting them for like over a year now, and hadn't broke one.
There's really nothing to break. I mean,
I mean it's carbon.
But that's just the outer sleeve. It's got like a stainless core on it.
Right.
The inner carbon slides over that, right?
Right. But the inner, so there's an inner, I guess, I think both pieces are carbon, but there's a stainless core or something like that.
We can not dive into this.
We got
a review coming on these.
Yeah, they're cool. We'll leave it at that.
Yep. And the fish will not pull off. My worry was the fish would pull off if you grab the middle section of the arrow where it's supposed to disengage, and they don't.
Right.
So I'll leave it with that.
Yeah, for sure. We are at 1 hour and 5 minutes. So
yeah.
Yes, it was fun. Hope everybody enjoyed it. We'd love to hear your stories. Yeah, it'd be cool. We think we're gonna try to get the guys that got first place on.
Yeah, I'm sure we will. I added them. I was the creeper that added them as friends on Facebook. So
I have a kind of a rule that I don't add anybody. You lived I try there. Not to.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's like the inner hipster in me. Probably is. But I didn't get 200 requests, but...
I say 200.
I got a lot. I've got a bunch in the last 2 weeks, so...
Yeah.
But...
I almost want to start a page for myself.
Oh, my gosh. No.
No, don't do that yet.
No, not yet. Not until, like, you're like, bumping 5,000 people.
Okay.
I think I've got, like, 900, so I got a ways to go. Yeah. You probably got a few. That's how you find all the information. You go creep on these folks and be like, hey, what's going on, man? You're like, oh, it's Chase with 4-7 Boat Fishing. He got second place. I'll tell him everything I know.
Or they just lie to me.
Well, there is that.
Yeah. Look at that moth. Holy moly.
I know, big moth.
Little green sucker.
Where? Oh, that's huge.
I thought it was going to carry you off. I
probably could have. Anyway, well, yeah. It's been fun.
It's been real. Mm-hmm. It's been fun.
But it ain't been real fun.
Nope. It's been super duper fun.
That's right. Do we have a catchphrase yet?
No.
See you on the water?
I don't know.
I haven't found anything clever enough.
Yeah.
We need something. Hashtag send it.
Hashtag. That's so... I mean, I like it. I like the send it.
Oh, it's hilarious. Yeah. Was I the first person that sent you that?
Yes. Well, I saw, I don't know if it was Kenzie Taylor or something, had a send it video where she did something about that. Or
But the actual, like, Larry the Enticer.
Oh. Yeah.
If you haven't watched that video, you really need to go on YouTube and Google or search Larry Enticer, send it.
Yeah.
He's got the Canadian tuxedo on. And
have you seen the one where he rides a dirt bike?
Like he actually races dirt bikes.
This dude can ride.
Dude, he races dirt bikes.
Does he?
Yeah, yeah. I saw him with, I don't know if you're familiar with, let's go back to street racing things, but 1320 video.
Mm-hmm.
So then Cletus McFarland or whatever the dude, you know, that drives the white Corvette. So he had Larry the Enticer come down, and they had like a weekend thing at this track event, and they were doing all sorts of crazy crap. But, you know, it's funny. It's good stuff.
Yeah, got this old beater snowmobile. You got silly? I'm still going to send it.
Still going to send it. So, good stuff. Yeah.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram.
iTunes.
Subscribe. Give us a dang review. We're stuck at 9.
Yeah, come on. Give us a break.
I mean, go on there. Just click 5 stars. And
just type, just going to send it.
Yeah, just put, keep sending it.
Just keep sending it. Hashtag keep sending it. I like, oh, there you go.
Yeah.
That's not bad. We got to think of something original, though.
Yeah.
Tech tip. That's the end of the show.
Yeah. That's gone.
Okay. Awkward pause. Here we go.
Yeah.
We made it like 1 hour and 7 minutes and then an awkward pause, and then we just did it. So
I know.
Okay.
I haven't said that's awesome. That's awesome.
Awesome.
See ya.
Bye.